The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the show, give us a call at 708-836-0118. We have a number of sponsorship opportunities that fit all size budgets. Just a couple announcements as we get started. First of all, I would like to thank all of my listeners. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. And second of all, today's Inspiring Women is having a conference October 4th in the Chicagoland area. And so if you'd like to hear some of our great executives and some of our top speakers in a one-day conference, this is your time to do that. Today's Inspiring Women's Conference, you can check it out on our website, and that'll be October 4th. Well, if you are interested and ready to take the next steps, become empowered and motivated and better equipped for success, then stay tuned. My first guest today is Susan Doctoroff Landy, and she is the president of, and I got to tell you, she is the president of one of my very favorite companies, and that is the Trainer's Warehouse and Office Oxygen. Susan is involved hands-on in product development and is the voice of her companies, and she writes all content and copy. Prior to joining her father's Trainer's Warehouse in July of 1997, she's had several years in the consulting and training field of negotiation. She completed her undergraduate work at Yale University. Man, you rock, Susan, I'll tell you. At Yale University, and received a graduate degree in management from the Kellogg Graduate School of Management. And one interesting job that Susan had prior to joining the Trainer's Warehouse is that she was once a clown for the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. How cool is that? Susan has written numerous articles which have appeared in the Sloan Management Review, another great resource. I love that review. Pfeiffer Training Annual, eLearning Magazine, Smart Magazine, and Training Magazine. And she serves on the board of NEMOA, which is the National E-Tailing and Marketing Association of America. Susan, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
I got to tell you, I love Trainer's Warehouse. That is the one place, you know, ever since I first started teaching at San Jose State years ago, and then I went in the training field. I mean, your catalog has always been on my desk because Training Magazine makes learning fun, and it's got great stuff in that catalog that I have used in every place that I've ever worked. So,
thank you. I love hearing
Magazine.
That.
Thank you for Trainer's Warehouse. So tell us a little bit, you know, so this, it's your company's, that company's been around since 1997, and I think I started using it like shortly thereafter. Wow. Anyway, let's go on and talk a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and how did you come to be president of the Trainer's Warehouse?
Well, as you indicates a little bit from the bio that you just kind of went through, is I've had a lot of different experiences. You know, the Yale and the Clown College experience together led me to a company called Odysseum that ran games for corporate meetings and conventions that were like ice-breaking and team-building games. And that company, I was with them, it was in the, gosh, what was it, the late 80s, and it was not a good time of the economy, and they had to close to restructure and recapitalize. I then worked for an education foundation that did like au pair, homestays, educational exchange, and found that the company was poorly run and I didn't have any control over it. So I was trying to figure out what was next, ended up going to business school, and left there having had all of these random experiences prior to that, and joined a business history consulting firm that did research on negotiations, research just on the histories of different businesses. Found that that was a really sort of solitary position and I would be better kind of up in front of people. And I found my way to a negotiations consulting firm that did both training and consulting in conflict resolution. And I really enjoyed that experience. I liked the training. It was kind of based on the getting to yes philosophy. So I really liked the content of that work also. But the folks at this firm, even though they helped people get to yes, decided that their best solution for going forward, when they all had different visions of where they wanted the company to go, was to go separate ways. So when they were ending up going their separate ways, I thought, you know, I think it may be time for me to have a job where I'm not traveling so much and, you know, can think about my own time a little bit more. And it was at that very same time that my dad needed help getting Trainer's Warehouse started. And I had helped him informally and figured that was a good time to make that happen.
Oh, interesting. So you've had a lot of different jobs prior to joining your dad at Trainer's Warehouse.
I did.
Were those transitions, I mean, did that come easy to you, or was that...
Oh,
problems there.
You know, I feel like there have been some people I've known in this world who have sort of landed these positions from one to the next, and it's kind of been an easy trail. I feel like because mine were so different that there wasn't a natural stepping stone. So every time there was a big job hunt, and there was networking, and there was soul searching, and, you know, there was living in my cousin's living room in Chicago when I was looking for a job and having my office out of my car and looking for months at a time. You know, part of it was the economy. Part of it was, you know, I kind of was this, you know, square peg trying to fit myself in a round hole. Mm-hmm. And even the circus experience, which we love talking about and everybody finds so fascinating. You know, I used to laugh with some of my friends at business school because they said, you know, somebody told me, I had an interview with, I don't remember, maybe it was John Deere, some big company, and they had seen the profile of our class, and they said, oh, I see you have a classmate who is with Ringling Brothers. What's she like? And so it was kind of this fascination. They didn't want to interview me, but they wanted to know what I was like.
Oh, my.
And it's, you know, so it always kind of made me laugh. It was sort of, okay, well, what do we do with this person? How do we, you know? And, you really have to sell yourself and advocate and figure out how to capture who you are and what you're about.
Okay, so that's, because of those transitions, it sounds like that's a really good tip for possibly other women who are in transition.
And that, which the persistence, the networking, all of those things.
Persistence, networking. What I liked was you said you need to figure out who you are.
Absolutely, right. I always knew I didn't want a job where I had to dress up every day at work, and I've never been in a corporate environment where I had to dress up every day.
So that also, I mean, that also is telling me is that you identified what were those core values that were important to you in looking for a new job. So you didn't find a job that you tried to mold to their values. You found a job that the values were in alignment with your own.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you say that because I know that when I was leaving business school and there were so many recruiters there looking for people who already had experience or who had something that they wanted. And, you know, if they weren't, if they didn't gravitate toward me, and they were looking for a more traditional corporate kind of person, I sort of felt that it was self-selecting, and that, you know what, maybe I'm not a good fit for that company. And mm-hmm. who knows? I mean, we sort of all make up our stories. And, you know, who knows if one of those big consulting firms like Bain or BCG, I'm sure I could have made a wonderful contribution. I don't know that the lifestyle would have suited me. So, you know, I think that you do find and figure out and feel your way through all of that.
I think that's really important. I think those are some good tips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so tell us a little about what working with family members, mm-hmm. Let alone, I mean, a parent of all things.
I know. A lot of people say, how can you work with your parents?
Exactly. Give us some hints around that.
You know, actually, I do work with my mom now. My dad passed away a few years ago. But when I went in, I always felt like we had a really respectful relationship in both directions. I never felt like, you know, I'm the kid and he has to teach me the ropes and so forth. And part of that was that when I came in, the company was very young. He had founded the company initially in 1990. He rolled out his first catalog in 1993, which I helped with. I also helped early on rename the company from Office Images to Trainer's Warehouse. It had been called Office Images because the first product that we sold was this a DocuPocket, this frame that, or I should say, not, it's not really a frame, it's like this clear plastic sheet
right.
with Velcro on the back that you can use to spruce up your office.
I've bought hundreds of those.
Yeah.
And I love those DocuPockets.
They're like potato chips, right? Once you have one, you can't do without them.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea
was, and I love
that
they come in different sizes now. I mean, I just love that
sizes,
product.
Yep. But the idea was to use those to spruce up the office. And what he found was that most of the people who were using those were trainers. So, you know, I came in with my Kellogg MBA and said, Dad, you got to change the name of the company. You know, what's it going to be? So we shifted that from, and this was before I worked with him. We changed from Office Images to Trainer's Warehouse. But from that time on, it was a very collegial relationship. And I think that in my family, you know, we're a family of three girls. I'm the only one in the business. But in that, we've always had really good communication and listening skills. To work with family, there's patience that's required. I think that the other thing for me is that there may be some things that I gave up in terms of, you know, compensation. I'm sure I could have made more if I were at some big company or big firm, but I had my lifestyle. I had flexibility when I had kids to come and go when I wanted, and I have always felt that the relationships are more important to me than the money. And I think that's okay to leave something on the table or to know what you're leaving on the table, what that's in exchange for, and to make those decisions consciously and, you know, to respect those relationships, respect, you know, how important they are, how much love there is that goes into it, and so forth. So I've had a great time working with my parents. It's been wonderful now that I'm a parent. I have two boys, 9 and 12. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine the pleasure that it would be to be able to work with them. So I feel like I've been able to give my parents something special as well.
Well, it sounds like there's been a lot of respect both ways, from you to your parents mm-hmm. to you. And then, again, the one thing that I'm hearing loud and clear is the whole values piece again, mm. is that there's value alignment once again, and that that your father's company was in alignment with your own personal values.
Absolutely.
Which I think is very
interesting. Both in terms of the content of what we do. You know, I had a mix of training and marketing experience. That's just what we did. And the sense of fun, of bringing fun into training, you know, I get that through the circus and through everything
right.
else, and just sort of the core of who I am.
Yeah.
But also
Trainer's Warehouse has some great products.
Say that again.
Well, they do. You have these products called boom whackers, and I did a lot of leadership training. And so you'd have all these executives with these boom whackers trying to play Mary Had a Little Lamb or Row, Row, Row Your Boat with these boom whackers, which we should say
boom whackers are these plastic tubes that are hollow, and they're cut to different lengths. So when you whack them on the floor or against your leg or a table, they each make a different note.
Right.
And so you can kind of create different, so it's a great team building tool to try to work together to create something.
Yeah.
Which is
great.
Just what Dad and I did, is work together to create something.
That's great. You know, we got to have so much fun here. But anyway, we need to take a quick break. Got to pay the bills here. So we're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women.
Find us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's deanne@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we are speaking to Susan Lande from who's president of Trainers Warehouse and Office Oxygen. And right before break, we were talking about working with your parents, and one of the things that I'm really personally interested in. So your dad started the struggling company. You came in, changed the name to Trainers Warehouse. How did you help grow that company over the years?
We've always had to look at the company from two different levels. One, and we're talking primarily about Trainers Warehouse here because Office Oxygen is brand new, and I'll talk about that in just a little later. But with Trainers Warehouse, we specialize in products that create a more dynamic, more effective and innovative and fun learning environment. So we really need to stay up on the different trends in that learning and education and corporate training industry. And we've looked at, you know, we've expanded to educators of, you know, school educators, because we started out really focusing on the professional group of corporate trainers. So we've needed to kind of stay in tune with that whole market, which is really our customer base and our niche. But we've also always identified ourselves as a direct marketing company, as a direct mailing, a catalog company, and that's changed a huge amount over the years. I mean, you know, I don't even know if kids today think of catalogs as catalogs. They sometimes refer to them as magazines because they go online to shop, and people get information through email. So the idea of, you know, thinking about how you market your company and how people learn about you has to continually evolve, which is one of the reasons I've been so involved with the NMOA organization. NMOA is the National E-Tailing and Mailing Organization. And I've learned just a tremendous amount about how to effectively run a business like ours. Everything from managing lists to email techniques, how to change your website for functionality, keeping track of the data. You know, there are a lot of different levels of just managing it at that perspective. And then you've got, like, the internal. I mean, we wear a lot of different hats. We only have 17 people here. So, and we have a shipping department. We have customer service. We have assembly people. You know, so we've got a lot of people wearing different hats. And
I'm just going to interject, Container Warehouse, I mean, the model that you put in place for the company, I think is very interesting because, I mean, there's a number of different companies out there that sell stuff that you can use in training programs, and some of it's really garbage. One of the things that has always amazed me with Trainer's Warehouse, which is why I've always recommended it, is because I look at my desk and I'm not in the training classroom right now. I'm interviewing, and I've got your sound effects next to my desk, and I've got your Super Day buzzer next to my desk, you know, and I've got a couple of the Pocky Dockets. I mean, every single one of your products are always top notch.
And we've always insisted on that. You know, we feel like, especially in a corporate environment, you need to feel like you're getting stuff that's well-made. And part of our job is to weed through some of the stuff that you might get from Oriental Trading or Rhode Island Novelty. And, you know, we're doing the research for you so that you know that whenever you buy from us, you're getting something top-notch. And we also help you make that link of, what's the learning point here? How do I use this to be able to promote the concepts of what I'm teaching? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's always the core. Yeah, we want to make sure that our trainers, our customers look good, they look professional, they're put together, and that they're promoting learning in, you know, in brain-friendly ways.
I mean, I think that's one of the, you know, the other thing that I like about the Trainer's Warehouse, and I'm sure you've had something to do with this, is that when you call, the whoever answers the phone is always knowledgeable about the products. And
we do a lot of cross training. We want to make sure that people feel equipped, and that, you know, this was one of the things for my dad. He never wanted an answering service to pick up the phone. So you always get a person when you call us.
I've always been amazed at that. Always.
Unless it's, you know, after hours.
Yeah, and when somebody didn't know something, when I was first getting those boom whackers, for example, I said, you know, can you give me some other ideas of how I can use this? And the lady answered me at the time, and then she called me back the next day with a whole bunch of more ideas. You know, I was just really impressed with that.
We think that customer service is key. And, you know, we want to treat other people how we would want to be treated. We really look at our customers as partners. And I think that that's an important thing in how you build your business. But also, you know, we're talking about advice to young women and how you project yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, we sell these products that are these mirrors that say, smile, they can hear it in your voice. You always want to project yourself professionally and kindly and, you know, in a happy way that, you know, becomes contagious and people want to work with you. So we've put a lot behind that.
Yeah, and those mirrors are fantastic. I actually bought a whole bunch of those for a call center once.
It's an important message.
It is. And I think one of the things that you've instilled in the company is being able to just communicate that. So you create this very trustworthy company that people can rely on.
Right. Well, we also trust that our employees, and we give them leeway, and, you know, to answer questions, to feel like they don't have the answer, to make mistakes, to, you know, help a customer in what ways that they think make sense, not just what, you know, we, the owners, say makes sense. Like, you know, use your judgment. Think about it. And that's what we want. You know, that's what we want from our people. That's what we want for our customers.
Well, I think this is fantastic. So what other advice do you have for young women?
You know, I was thinking a lot about this when we first chatted. And, you know, I think that some of the things that, from my experience and having had difficult times kind of figuring out what my next place is. It's the things that we've talked about earlier, like just taking time to figure yourself out, not jumping on the first job that comes along, but being a little bit picky and kind of figuring out what suits you well. I think that's a harder thing for generalists like myself to do. In some ways, I think that people who have, you know, one skill and can really go after that, it's a little bit easier. But when you sort of are a big picture person, it's hard because, you know, big companies are looking for a specific job in a specific role, and that can be difficult. One of the things that I found in my searches was the importance of networking. And I think that that's something that, you know, women in general are pretty good at, is building relationships. And I have found over the years that my Rolodex, we don't have Rolodexes anymore, right? But has, that dates me. Oh, man. But we keep names. We keep in touch with people. And I guess, you know, folks do that now more and more with Facebook. It's a little bit of a different relationship because I think that the networking and the maintaining relationships that I'm talking about, it's going out of your way a little bit more to maintain those contacts and to stay in touch with those people and letting them know what you're doing, not in, and I'm broadcasting this to everyone, but in, you know, I want to keep you posted on the impact that you've had on my life. I want to, you know, stay in touch with what you're doing and so forth. So I think that those relationships are important. I guess the other piece of advice is the importance of seeking other people's perspectives. In my company, I seek the perspective of the people in assembly on the quality of our products, on what sort of, you know, what processes are going to be good to do inspections or to assemble products more easily. I remember that when I was in the circus, you know, there were the act people who were sort of high up on the echelons, and there were people who, you know, were the clowns or the people who were shoveling the elephant poop. Everybody took their job seriously. Everybody wanted to do a good job. Everybody has, you know, wants to be the best at whatever it is they're doing. Respect all of those people. Listen to what they have to say. You don't have to feel like, okay, well, I need to be the boss, so I'm not going to listen to that. I mean, all of those folks are going to inform you to be better, to run your business better. You know, they all contribute to your view of what things look like. So, you know.
I think those are some really important points. Two of them that really stood out for me was that the networking is a personalized networking, not a broadcast type of networking that you do almost like one-on-one with people.
It feels different, doesn't it? Like sending a follow-up letter or an email to one person is different from posting your update on Facebook.
Sure. And the other one that I really liked was respect the views of others, even if they don't agree with you.
Yeah, that was a big one for my dad and I. We were always devil's advocates for each other, but those are key.
So tell us about this new company that you're starting, Office Oxygen. Tell us about that.
I'm so excited about Office Oxygen. Office Oxygen, as I hope it sounds like, we're going to be selling products that breathe new life into the workplace. And it came about because as I was trying to figure out what the next steps were in building the Trainer's Warehouse company, you know, I went to some fancy consultants and said, where should I go? What should I do? And they came back after a long, involved, and somewhat expensive analysis and told me that my company was very well run, congratulations, but they didn't know. They didn't know the answer. They had no, you know, magic bullet. There was no low-hanging fruit. They said, great job. So I'm racking my brain thinking about all of these products that we have for Trainer's Warehouse that have a life beyond learning environments. Whether it's buzzer systems or, you know, chimes for meetings or clocks or, you know, whiteboards for quick response in meetings or stress relievers or community building tools, team building. Those aren't just important for learning. They're important to build collegial and healthy relationships with the people who you work with. But we're not getting those people. You know, we send out a Trainer's Warehouse catalog. It says Trainer's Warehouse. If they're not a trainer, it goes in the trash. So the idea was initially to build out the opportunity with some of our existing products and to reach a broader audience. But in addition to that, it's been interesting because as we see it evolving with categories like work healthy, work smart, work together, work happy, you know, we're branching out into, you know, water bottles so that you can stay hydrated at work, stand-up workstations so that you can move around at work, you know, a ping pong game so you can take a five-minute break, do something physical, get your blood moving again, your brain moving, and be more effective in your job. And so it's informed some of our product development at Trainer's Warehouse, as well as product development specifically for office oxygen. So that's been, it's been fun to get that launched. Our challenge now is telling everybody that we know and getting the word out that the brand and the products are out there and that they exist. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different marketing challenge to have, you know, now than what we had when we first launched Trainer's Warehouse, because mail is more expensive and internet didn't exist. So, you know, we're looking at social, we're looking at viral techniques, we're looking at search engine marketing, and some other tools to kind of to get that mobilized. But tell everybody you know. Office oxygen.
I mean, well, it makes perfect sense because, like, one of the products that you had or you have maybe it's called Time Timer, and it's
this timer that
has a dial on it, and as minutes go by, the red gets down to zero, so you know your speaking time is up. I used to use those in my meetings all the time for meeting management, and that had nothing to do with training, but it had everything to do with how I ran my meetings as a manager. Yeah, so people knew they had 15 minutes to talk, and when it goes to zero, your time is up.
Or having fiddle and stress toys in your office so that when somebody comes in and maybe they have to have a difficult conversation, but there's something just to, you know, relax them or to have a conversation piece or to help them, you know, be able to focus better. It's a, you know, similar concept to doodling, like you want to be able to focus, and sometimes, you know, filling up those, your fidgety hands can help you in that way.
Like when you're giving performance reviews.
Exactly. Another good example.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been a manager. I know. Time is just up. I can't believe how fast this has gone. Susan, I'd like to thank you for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so again, for those of you who are listening, look up, if you're in the training and development area, look up Trainer's Warehouse. If you're in the business side, look up Office Oxygen. I think you're going to find some wonderful tools that you'll be able to use. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out a little bit about how to tackle the rhinos in your office. So this is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we are going to be speaking with Dr. Roberta Shaler. Dr. Roberta Shaler is got a wonderful little book out on dealing with the rhinos. But let me tell you a little bit about Roberta. When you recognize that you're more exhausted by the people when you work with than the work you are actually doing, you're probably wrestling the rhinos at work. So even when the U.S. Marine called Dr. Roberta Shaler, the author of Wrestling Rhinos, Conquering Conflict in the Wilds of Work, I just love that title, she helped them out. With a PhD in psychology and extensive postgraduate studies in the renowned Justice Institute of British Columbia, Dr. Shaler developed the concepts and solutions in wrestling rhinos. She leads clients to optimize their unique team dynamics in this diverse economy, and companies that do not will falter if they don't deal with them correctly, or they will fall short. Dr. Shaler teaches collaborative negotiation in the Executive MBA program at the University of Texas in Dallas. Welcome, Dr. Shaler. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, Deanne. Thank you. And that little book is 310 pages.
Wow.
So it's a jam-packed little book.
It is. But I just love what I saw about that book with darling little cartoons in it and real pointed information. But let's talk a little bit more. Based upon your expertise and research, just how much time would you say that managers waste in dealing with conflict in the workplace?
Well, that's a really important question. About 10 years ago, there was some hard data on that, and it was up to 42% of an employee's time was spent dealing with or experiencing conflict, even in resolving it. Now, 42% sounded a lot, but recently I was aware that it has gotten much more. I was asking my MBA students this weekend, what do they think their percentage is? Because they're all in really great positions around the country doing this executive MBA program. And their personal ranges was 50 to 70% of their day is spent resolving or engaging in conflict.
Well, so, I would believe that those higher numbers are there.
Yes, because businesses are seriously in need of rethinking training and executive coaching, as you well know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of money out the door for basically nothing. Conflict is sometimes creative. Sometimes great new ideas come out of it, but not at those levels. That's just a ridiculous use of time, energy, money, and talent.
Yeah, and if a manager is spending all that time in dealing with conflict, they're not getting any work done.
No, well, they can't be. They're treading water all the time. They don't get any forward momentum.
Yeah. So your book is about dealing with rhinos at work. So just tell us, how do you recognize a rhino at work?
Well, I'll give you some adjectives, Deanne, and you see if any of these stand out for you. Defensive, offensive, short-sighted, overbearing, solitary, territorial, aggressive, controlling, superior, passive-aggressive, unresponsive, dismissive, argumentative, possessive, feet-dragging, people-stomping, and just like the rhinos in the wild, they're ferocious, completely out of proportion to your proximity. How about that?
Wow.
Hey, rhinos are what some people call difficult people, but it's more than that. They're, you know, in the wild, rhinos, they don't want to hurt anybody. That's not what they are, and there's lots of good stuff about real rhinos in the book, too. They just can't see. They're short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just afraid of everything. So when something in their blurry vision comes in, they charge it. Well, that's
right.
A lot like the rhinos at work. They don't have a clear vision. They don't have good skills. They don't have great strategies. And they're usually hugely fearful. And so they're aggressive, they're defensive, they're controlling, trying to keep the fear at bay. And so that's how I define a rhino.
And I think that's a good analogy, because I think just the way you describe the rhino, even the fact that the rhino in the wild is short-sighted, people in the workplace are often short-sighted on the bigger picture.
Exactly. And they want what they want in the moment, not recognizing what it contributes to the whole or to other people, or creates problems for other people.
Sure.
So
wow,
very important.
Really good.
Yeah.
So how many people do you think actually leave their jobs because of these rhinos that they have to deal with at work?
Well, I don't know about how many, but if you look at the healthcare statistics, you really get a sense of what's going on. Because dealing with rhinos or being a rhino, there's so much pressure, there's stress, there's frustration, there's fear, there's hurt feelings, and a body can only stand so much, and so can the bodies around them. So by not addressing these issues in the workplace appropriately, it drives the healthcare costs up and the temporary health costs way up. But then in this economy, when somebody goes out for stress relief, there should be someone to replace them, but these days that's not the case. They add it on to the burden of the people around them, and those people then become a drain on the health care.
I'm willing to bet that a lot of people, if their bosses are rhinos, they leave.
Well, they do, but, you know, there is a difference between the way men and women deal with rhinos, too.
Oh, really?
And so a woman dealing with a rhino boss is more likely to try and nurture him or her into a pen that will keep them happy. Where
huh.
A man dealing with a rhino at work is more likely to say, "Are you kidding? I'm out of here."
Interesting. And how about women to women?
Well, the women will try and nurture. You know, the way that I look at the difference between men and women, and I know this is a really broad stroke analogy, Deanne, but a woman in a company or on a team or whatever she's doing, she kind of sees it as a garden. She wants to take care of it. She wants to nurture it. She wants to water it. She wants to move the little plants into the right light. She wants to make sure she researches the plants, know what kind of situation they prefer. So a woman does that. A guy walks in and says, "Well, is this machine running? Great. This machine broke? No. What's broke? Oh, take that out and replace it. Let's get another one." So if you take that kind of broad stroke metaphor, and, you know, please excuse the fact that it is very broad, but it is that approach that makes the difference. So a woman will try to mold herself more to make the relationship work, where a man will begin to either internalize the stress and go in the ulcer world or develop asthma or something, or mm-hmm. else just say, "You've got to be kidding. I'm not going to put up with this all day. It's not worth the money."
So I got a question for you. So how can I gauge my own, because I think probably all of us are a rhino at some point in our life. So how can we gauge my own rhino-ness? And do you have any tips or strategies on how I can keep my rhino in check?
Yes, a good thing. I mean, we're all somebody's idea of a rhino sometimes, because we work too fast and too hard. Our culture tells us that, you know, if someone asks you how you are, you're supposed to be able to say, "Oh, I'm so busy." So we're already going too fast. And one of the books that I wrote, Soul Solitude, the first chapter is called "Flat Out is Not a Rhythm." And most of us are trying to live flat out. And we may not notice that we're leaving a little destruction in our wake or shock or hurt on somebody's face. So it's really important to take stock of yourself. You know, a lot of the work I do, I say to people, you must demonstrate alignment between your values, your vision, your beliefs, and your purpose every day and every moment, because that's who you are. So if you get caught up not taking stock of, was I who I want to be today? Did I treat people the way my values say I would? If you don't have some practices that are taking care of that, you can be an offhand rhino.
I like, so you have to align your values, your purpose,
your vision, and your beliefs.
Vision and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. And I think that's true because sometimes we, you know, we want to act out or want to get back because somebody had said something that was ugly. Mm-hmm. You need to just stop and think, no, wait, if what I'm going to say, is that in alignment with my values, my vision, my beliefs, and my purpose?
Exactly, because you are demonstrating who you are. And I'll give you an example of that. I had an executive coaching client, fairly new, and I called him for his third call, and he said to me, you know what just happened? He said, I can't believe it. This guy came into my office, and he started speaking so aggressively. He said, finally, he said, I just wasn't making any headway with him, so I yelled at him. And he wouldn't stop. He just got more aggressive, so I actually swore at him. And then he said, you know, the guy just wouldn't stop. I had to throw him out of my office. I said, oh, that's interesting. He said, why is that interesting? I said, well, you just told me that you're a person who yells and swears and throws people out of your office. And he said, oh, no, no, it was the guy. It was just that guy. I said, I don't care about the guy. You're my client, and you just told me who you are.
Wow.
That's the important thing to me, Deanne.
I think that's, you know, in business, you know, how important is that? I mean, that's really key, is that you have to align your values, your purpose, your vision, and your beliefs in everything you do. And if you're an entrepreneur, your business has to be in alignment with that as well.
Absolutely. And when I'm teaching negotiation at the University of Texas, like you mentioned, I tell those people, I can give you all the negotiation skills there are, but what are you putting it on top of? We're going back to find out who you are, where that alignment is, and whether or not you negotiate in alignment with who you are. Because if you just try and apply strategies from a book, it's not going to work.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sitting here just going, yeah, you're right on the money. I mean, that's just so true. You know, what we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the difference between assertive versus aggressive. And in your book, you talked about asking for what you want. I want to address that a little bit more as well. But we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Roberta Shaler. And this is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel, VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we are speaking to Dr. Roberta Shaler, and we're talking about the rhinos at work. And just before break, we talked about about being a rhino and how to identify your own rhino-ness and what tips or strategies that you have. And I'd like to go on a little bit more. When I was a manager, I would have these extroverts in the office that were very confrontational. And when I would address them, and I would tell them they're confrontational and almost being aggressive, they would say, no, I'm just being assertive. What's the difference between being assertive and being aggressive when it comes to conflict?
Well, you're so right, because many people who are a rhino don't recognize their rhino-ness. So they would say, I'm assertive, meaning that I speak up. I tell you what I want. That's the way it is, and you need to know it. But assertiveness is not that. Assertiveness is being controlled. It's being balanced. It's being collaborative. And those are very, very important pieces of it. And one of the differences that I think is important between assertiveness and aggressiveness is how our words and behavior affect the rights and well-being of another person. If I'm impinging on the rights and well-being of another person, I'm being aggressive. You know, I teach a lot of anger management classes here in my office in Escondido, California, that people, Superior Court sends people to me. And they have no skills, so aggressive is what they've played out in order to be sent here. But it's very important for us to realize that if you've impinged on somebody's rights or well-being, you weren't assertive at all, and you just demonstrated who you are. So I call it anger therapy, because I think people need to go back and say, it's not about the other person. You know, and I use this example. It's kind of fun. You're driving on the highway, somebody cuts you off, and it shocks you. What do? You yell, you swear, you say nasty things about them. But they're happily on their way, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you a thought. Well, I say that if you're getting your knickers in a twist because somebody's cut you off on the highway, that's like taking poison and hoping the other person dies.
Oh.
You're getting yourself all worked up. And the other person is just watching or getting where they want to go without any care for you. And then you behave aggressively, and now it's your fault. You're the one now who's the bad person, the terrible person, the one who caused the conflict or difficulty. So we have to be very, very careful. And like we were saying before the break, run. If you're in a situation where you think there's a little tension, run what you're about to say, including the words, the delivery, and the tone of voice, and the posture of your body, run it through your mind before you open your mouth. If it would be acceptable for it to be delivered to you, proceed. If you couldn't hear it or it would make you angry, stop and stay silent.
If it would make you angry, then stop and be silent.
Yes.
I love that. Wow. That is very powerful. I like that a lot. But so one of the questions that I think just is just dying to get out here is, so how do you go about in asking for what you want, which is what you talk about in your book, without coming across as being aggressive?
Well, asking for what you want is simply assertive, but it's a mindset. Many people don't think they deserve to ask for what they want, so they get their knickers in a twist about it. You know, there's a great story that I tell in my class about a guy whose car broke down on the highway way late at night, way out in the country, and he doesn't have any tools. So he sees a light far off in the distance, and he starts walking towards it. And his inner conversation is, I wonder if they have tools. I'm sure they'd help me if they could. It's a bit late. I hope they're not tired. Well, if they're tired, they wouldn't mind. They know I'm caught out here. Well, what if they have tools, but they're angry and they want me to give them money for the tools? Oh, they wouldn't do that. So he talks himself up. Finally, he's like, oh, well, people wouldn't behave like that. That's just no good. People are not unkind. Then he knocks on the door. A fellow answers the door, and he looks at the guy and he says, keep your tools. Right,
so
that's what it is that we're talking about in asking for what you want. If if you don't have a mindset that says, yes, this is an appropriate thing for me to want or to need or whatever, and I have the right to expect it, then you have something to work on. But here's the kicker, Deanne. Emotional grown-ups ask for what they want and are equally prepared to hear yes or no.
Hmm.
if you are only expecting to be taken care of with a yes answer, you've got work to do. So asking for what you want is important. Don't hedge, don't hint, ask straight up, because you have the right and responsibility to speak up for yourself in every way. And sometimes when you're feeling most pressured, you may feel less forceful. This is the prime time to speak your truth. I make a big deal in my trainings, Deanne, that people must learn to be totally kind and totally honest at the same time. I'm on a mission to eradicate a two-word phrase that's used too often. Any idea what that is, Deanne?
No.
I'll tell you. It's brutal honesty.
Ah.
We do not have to be brutal. We do have to be honest. So my mission is to help people talk to one another in ways that are totally kind and totally honest at the same time. Because we're not here to usurp the rights of others, but we're here to stand up for what we need and want and listen and respond to the needs and wants of others.
I really liked, you have given us such great information today. The one that's just the real flag for me is that your values, your purpose, your vision, your beliefs have to be in every communication message that you give.
Well, they will be. You want to do it consciously.
Yeah. And then the other one I really liked is that you talked about is that when you get into a confrontation with somebody, you have, as a grown-up, as an adult, you have to be prepared for both a yes and a no answer, not just the answer you want to hear.
Right.
I just love that. So tell people, what are the services that you provide? You provide some coaching, it sounds
I provide.
And how do people get hold of you?
Okay, four services. Executive coaching for individuals, teams, and partners. Training and communication, conflict, and negotiation. Mediating when things go wrong for partners, the executive suite, or a team. And speaking. Those are the four things that I do, and people can find me at doctorforwork.com.
Doctorforwork.com.
And that will lead you to my other website at Optimize Institute and several of my other websites. So doctorforwork.com. And you'll find that when you go there, there's also a store button. So if you want to look at the products or buy a copy of Wrestling Rhinos, it's all there for you.
So that's doctorforwork.com?
Yes, just like it sounds. Doctor for Work.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the four wasn't a number. But
right, yes.
Doctorforwork.com. And so people can buy a copy of your book there as well.
Yes, any of my books. I've written 9 books. And Wrestling Rhinos is among them. There is a 3-hour audio program on Wrestling Rhinos there that accompanies the book but does not read the book. There's lots of things there for you. There are also some free things. So you want to go and sign up and take advantage of free things, little mini courses that are audio, 10-minute programs on how to fix a particular problem, things like that.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you very much. Wrestling Rhinos, Conquering Conflict in the Wilds of Work. I just love that. Well, Roberta, thank you so very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you, and I wish you well.
Thank you so much. This show was sponsored by Breaking Boundaries International. Breaking Boundaries provides personalized coaching and corporate training services to business professionals and organizations. If you're looking to break through your personal boundaries and career roadblocks, Breaking Boundaries International can help. Their services include business coaching for entrepreneurs and business professionals. They can also provide a motivational business speaker for your next business meeting or experience or conference. They can be reached at www.breaking-boundaries.com or give them a call at 866-91-COACH. In ending today's show, I would like to leave you with a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. And she said that the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. You've been listening to today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. I'm your host, and each week we address relevant topics for women to spark your career and life growth. Again, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to today's Inspiring Women. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. Thank you so much, and have a great, wonderful day. This is Deanne DeMarco.
Thank you. you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.